Welcome to Kingdom Culture Life Redefined Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us today. And I want to say right off the bat, as I often do, may you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to say welcome to my awesome co-host, Lori Heckler. I didn't call you doctor, but I didn't want to get rebuked. So
that's very surprising.
My wife said she keeps getting on to you, so you need to quit calling her doctor. She might not like it, but
it's become almost a understanding that it's going to happen.
See, somebody at your church the other day that's been listening to the podcast called you doctor, didn't they? We're going to get you there, Lori. We're going to get you there at some point, and you'll leave us all behind, and you'll have your own Dr. Lori show. You and Dr. Phil will be on the show together, and it'll be like, where's Lori? She done left us way behind.
I don't know about all that, but hey, who knows what Jesus
got. How you doing? You have a good day?
I did have a good day today. It was a good day in the office. Good day, any day that we wake up is a good day, right? If we make that choice.
Okay, I have to ask you a question. Okay. It's burning on everybody's mind. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know the answer to this
question. What's
that? What did the great Dr. Lori do on eclipse day? Did you get some glasses? Did you go look?
I sat on the couch and watched it on the news because I didn't have any glasses, so I didn't have a chance to look at it, but I was concerned because our producer was out driving and I told him, don't look at the sun. So, but I did have a friend of mine that I called and I was, picking at her, and she was about to go outside and look at it through a straw hat because she was thinking that would, I don't know. It's a good thing I called her because I'm like, you would have probably burned your retina, but that is the right thing, right? The retina. Yeah. But anyway, she was going to look at it through she's like, I got a straw hat. You think that'll work? And I'm like, absolutely it won't work, but you do you. So I think she'll probably listen to this and get a good kick out of that. But I stayed inside because I didn't have the right glasses and I didn't want to have to go to the eye doctor. So what did you do?
Well, I was in Mississippi in revival and we had a total blackout there.
Oh, that's cool.
Total blackout.
Yeah.
Well, let me finish explaining the total blackout. It was total. The clouds took over.
Oh, never mind.
The clouds was like, y'all ain't gonna see no eclipse. I'm taking care of this. So the clouds took over. It was black, dark. Thunder, lightning, it poured down rain all day long. So we didn't get to see diddly squat, at least where I was at.
Well, we only had 80% totality. So it wasn't like total dark. So I figured I've seen that before. It wasn't, but there was people that really experienced it and thought it was amazing because of the spiritual side of it. But I'm like, I connect with that side on a daily basis. So, But anyway.
Well, if you look at how frequently they happen all over the world, full and partial, it's just nature doing what God set it up to do. But anyway,
it's God.
I saw a full eclipse in 2017. I was in Kentucky.
Okay.
In a revival when we walked outside and saw the full thing in 2017. And it is really cool how it happens. And I mean, it does get dark. The temperature does go down. It's really neat how it happens.
Yeah.
And then it was gone. Boom, boom, there was gone. Anyway.
And so the rapture is going to take place the same way, right?
In the twinkling of an eye.
Yes, it's going to be. And
that's
not even
fast.
Not even a whole total eye blink, but in the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
That's quick.
Boom.
So we better be ready.
Somebody said it was 1/40th of a second.
Oh,
I read one time. Twinkling of an eye was 1/40th of a second. So that's pretty quick.
We got to make sure we're ready. That's for sure.
We're not going to have... Well, you better make sure you're ready.
I am ready, of course.
So we're just trying to make sure that Dr. Lori is ready.
And, in Jesus' name,
so
I pray
anyway,
that I am.
Yes, you are, Dr. Lori. You know I'm teasing you. I like to give you a hard time. If I didn't pick on you, nobody would pick on you. Wouldn't think nobody loved you.
Man.
So that's why God put me in your life to pick on you and give you a hard time. And I know the producer behind the scenes, he's clapping. He's cheering me on right now. You're not looking at him, but he is.
He probably is.
He probably don't get to pick on you.
No, he knows better.
That's what I will be your thorn in the flesh.
I've got a couple brothers that like to pick on me too. So they're right up there with you. So,
well, good deal. That's because we love you.
I feel
today's episode, Dr. Lori, we're going to talk about you are not who you were. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. And we want folks to understand that after we're born again, we are not who we were in our first birth or our first life. And I put on social media a post the other day that asked the question, are you healed or just trying not to think about it? And there is a difference in that, right? I mean, am I truly healed, or am I just trying to stuff something away and hide it away and bury it in my spirit? If I'm doing that, I'm not, and just trying not to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really healed, because at some point, it's something, and this is a big word that we hear a lot about today. So at some point, something's going to trigger that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going, and I'm not going to be able to hide it anymore. It's going to come back up, come back to the surface,
yeah.
And the pain and the hurt and that's associated with that issue is still going to affect me in a negative way. So I'm not really healed, right? If I'm just trying not to think about it and trying to keep it hid and trying to keep it buried, is that? Do you agree with that, or how? What do you think?
I do agree. With that, and the fact that if we think that we're healed and we're not, just to let something trigger us to remind us of that incident, then we can definitely determine whether or not it comes bubbling up again and takes us back to that same exact place that we were before we thought that it was over, thought that it was healed, thought that the trauma, you know, has subsided. And you know, whenever we talk about hurt and trauma and all these things that we try to bury, comments like, I don't have emotions, you know, that doesn't bother me, you know, they can do whatever they want to, but it didn't, you know, what they do, we can make a whole lot of excuses, basically. And when we say stuff like, I don't have emotions, that's the furthest thing from the truth, because like, we're all born with emotions. We all have a set of emotions that God put in us, and we all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. One thing that I did want to kind of talk about, and this is, you know, because we talk a lot about in this podcast, being born again and being free and living in kingdom culture does not mean that we're not still going to have some of our emotions that we had before Jesus. Like, all of that is, we're still going to be who we are. And I think people kind of, that's something that I wanted to, but, go ahead. What were you going to say?
But who are we is what we've got to come to. We've got to decide at some point.
And you're right. This is,
you know, here's what we do, Lori. We say stuff that we're going to go back and cover some other point. We just kind of, you know what I'm saying? We're flowing with this thing, but we're making comments we might not get back to. But we'll cover those things at some point as well, because that's the whole big thing, I think, is who are we? And we got to figure out who we are in the kingdom of God and in Christ Jesus, because you're exactly right.
And I agree.
I'll cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I totally agree with it, but I don't want people, when they hear us talking about this, because a lot of people think that I'm born again. Yes, we are a new creation. But it's the spiritual man that's the new creation. We're still going to be flesh. We're still going to have the same thoughts. We're still going to have the same memories. It's not like in Men in Black, whenever they, I don't know if you've ever seen Men in Black, but they have like this little device that they put in front of their eyes. And I know that that's Hollywood fiction, but they like clear their mind and they no longer think about what happened. You know, everything is a blank. It would be awesome if it worked that way, that everything's a blank slate when we're born again. But we're still going to have the same feelings and emotions before we had after being born again, born into the kingdom. We're still going to have those same thoughts, those same emotions. But the spirit is born again. The flesh is still that flesh that we have to deal with. We can't rebuke the flesh, but we can absolutely learn to control the flesh through the spirit. Does that make sense? Or do you totally disagree with me? Are you trying to figure it out? What I just said.
Well, I know exactly what you just said, but there's no controlling the flesh. We cannot control the flesh. So we have to understand and come to revelation that we have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust, which does not mean it's not the light. It's not the bright light that poof and it's all gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things are still there, but they no longer control us. There's no such thing as a trigger anymore. If it's a trigger, it triggers anything. It triggers the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that's in us. It doesn't mean it's going to go away, obviously. But we've crucified it to the point that now my spirit the Spirit of Christ in me is in control. And if that stuff tries to rise up again, I cast that thought down. I cast that
exactly.
Down.
And that's what I'm saying. And you just said it. We have to be the one that casts it down. It doesn't just automatically happen, is what I'm saying. We still have those feelings. We still have the triggers. We still have the trauma. And oftentimes what happens is people, after they're born again, they don't allow Jesus deep enough into their emotions, deep enough into their mm-hmm. situation, deep enough into their heart, and those feelings of that trauma and all those things, they don't let him deep enough to heal it. And that's why they continue to deal with it after they're born again. And that's what I've discovered in working with people is, because they could have went to church their whole life. They could be, they've given their life to God. They've been born of the water, born of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, walking in, supposedly supposed to be walking in victory, but they're still dealing with things that they've been dealing with all this time because they have not taken authority over it. Because they have the power to do so, but they have not taken authority over it.
So burying the things that have happened to us does not bring us freedom.
No, absolutely not. And it has to be given to God, has to be allowed access, because sometimes we don't do it intentionally, but we deny Jesus access to the hurt because it hurts too bad to feel it. It hurts too bad to allow to think about it. It's easier just to push it to the side and let's not think about it. And like you said, it goes back to just because we're not thinking about it, does that mean we're healed? Absolutely not. So something happens that triggers that hurt. Something happens that triggers that trauma. And then they are, like I said, right back to that moment they were hurt. And 40 years could have passed by. And they are feeling the exact hurt they felt in the moment. So bearing the things that has happened to us does not bring freedom. Only Jesus can give you that freedom. Only Jesus can help you overcome. Only Jesus can get us through what we've been through. And that's building that relationship with him and learning what his word and who we are in his word and what his word says that we can overcome. So declaring it until it comes to pass. Power in the words, declaring who we are, declaring that we are free, declaring and speaking those things that are not as though they already are, like you said before, as though they already were. So that's how we overcome.
You said until it comes to pass, until what comes to pass?
Until our freedom comes to pass. And until we are free from what it is that's keeping us bound. Because it's in us. It's been, Jesus finished it on the cross. He declared it on the cross. It's done. What we need, everything that we need is done. We just have to walk in it. And that's declaring it. That's putting it in our heart. And, when we are talking about temperament and going back to, because, that's the type of counseling that I do is temperament counseling. So I deal with a lot of people, different types of people, and everybody processes things differently. Everybody processes hurt differently, trauma differently. And when we're born with that temperament that God created in us, that's basically how we respond to the places, the things, and the people around us. How do you respond to stress? How do you respond to chaos? How do you respond to sorrow? and how we respond to relationships, make decisions, basically where we fit in the world. And when we become a new creation after being born of the Word and the Spirit, we have to choose to respond to the Word of God instead of how we would naturally respond to our fleshly nature. So we aren't talking about just, you know, because I think a lot of people think that once they are saved, that it's just going to be easy. Life's going to be like, there's no more issues, no more problems. You know, everything is just easy. Did you ever think that in your relationship with God when people were talking about like being born again or your relationship with God? Did you ever feel like it's just going to be easy once I start living for God?
Oh, no, not really. Not necessarily. I mean, you can't read the Bible and think that. I mean, we are definitely behind enemy lines here. Mm-hmm. And we're taking territory, you know, back from the devil. We are the church occupying until Jesus comes back. Ephesians 6, it's, in, you know, 10 through 18 tells us that it's not going to be, quote, unquote, easy. There is, just like we have law enforcement agency in this country, we still have thieves and criminals. And the thief's going to come and steal, kill, and destroy as long as he can get away with it until the greater power shows up and binds him and shuts him down.
Amen.
In the natural and in the spiritual. And we, as long as, if we, those who God has put spiritually in charge, don't bind the strong man, well, he's just going to run rampant until we do bind him and shut him down. So no, I mean, it's our faith, and I say this quite often, I think that in the Bible says our faith will be tested. I think our faith is tested to a degree, to some degree, possibly every single day. I think my faith is tested to a degree. It may be somebody pulling out in front of me, it may, you know, running me off the road or whatever, maybe stubbing my toe, but some days it's tested to a greater degree than the other. But when I'm walking in who I'm supposed to be, who I know I am in my authority in Christ, I recognize it for what it is. This is a test. I'll pass this test. Mm-hmm. I've got the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God to pass this test. And so, but yeah, we're going to definitely be tested.
And, you know, in those tests, we make the choice, like you said, we make the choice of how we're going to respond. We make the choice of, and sometimes, I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you've heard people say before, that's the greatest test when somebody does pull out in front of you. Like, what's in the heart is going to come out in those moments. Like, you know, are you going to, and sometimes we have to catch ourselves because when we're angry, we can't react on that anger. We can't, you know, respond like the world responds. We have to respond like Jesus. So we make the choice to allow Jesus in those times to lean into the Spirit other than to succumb to the flesh and what the flesh, you know, what we would do in the flesh.
Check this out. I read this post earlier and it just popped back into my spirit. So I remembered I'd taken a picture of it so I wouldn't forget it. And it says, you'll know you're healed when you respond differently.
Ooh, I like that.
You'll know you're healed when you respond differently.
That's good.
That's powerful right there because that's so true.
It is.
That's so true. And I think that's when we know we're walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. We're walking in the power of the Spirit and all that comes with the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. When we're walking and living in that, you're going to respond differently.
Yeah. And I think it was probably a couple episodes ago that I mentioned someone responded to hurt and to unforgiveness by saying it has to be supernatural that I can pray for my abusive husband and love my abusive husband and still have something that resembles a relationship with that person after they hurt me. So that's supernatural. And like you said, if you can think about it, what was the quote that you just said? Because, you know,
if you'll know you're healed when you respond differently.
So responding through love versus hurt, pain, anger, that's an indication that I'm healed.
That you're healed. Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, we make the choice to allow Jesus, like I said, into those places. We choose what we're going to think, what we're going to speak, what we're going to say. If it's all a choice, to think and to speak will either bring you victory and joy and peace, or it brings you fear, anxiety, hopelessness, depression, and the list goes on. It's all based on what we think. The mind and our emotions follow our mind. So whatever we're, whatever thought we're thinking, the emotions are going to follow it. So we have to make sure, like, what we're thinking, what we're speaking lines up to who we are in Jesus and what his word says about us.
That's right. That's right. We're talking about you're not who you were, and I want to explain how I got to that. I've been teaching and preaching for some time now that I believe our main issue as Christians or Christians is an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. We just don't know who we are in Christ or the kingdom of God, and we don't know what we have. We don't know what we are, who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. If we don't know who we are in Christ, we don't understand our purpose in Christ. And that equals confusion. That equals frustration. It's always causing me to doubt myself and question myself. Mm-hmm. I struggled with that for a long time in early Christianity, that I just, what's my purpose? Who am I? And I struggled with not knowing who I was, not knowing my identity in Christ and what I'm supposed to be doing in the church, in the kingdom of God. And it was simply because of a lack of teaching, because I was not taught those things. And I can't tell you how many Christians that I hear all the time, who am I? What am I here for? What's my purpose? Mm-hmm. What's my identity? Yep. I don't know. And then that leads to, do you have seasons of I can't. And then all of a sudden, boom, the bottom falls out. Now you're I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't. I won't. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. And we're on this roller coaster ride of emotions all of the time as Christians, just trying to, oh, thank you, Lord. So I'm going to go ahead and say that right there. Just trying to be good enough to please God. Yeah. If I try to be good enough to please God, then God will love me. But if I'm not good enough to please God, God can't really love me.
Because isn't that how our relationships in the flesh and the human form, isn't that how they look? Isn't that how the relationships that if I'm good enough, then my parents will accept me. If I'm good enough, then maybe my husband or my wife will love me more. And usually that's the case. And also, not only not knowing who we are, but relying on other people to tell us who we are and to validate us in what we do for God. I know that was one of the things that I dealt with for a long time, is pleasing everybody else and making sure everybody else was on board with what I was doing for God and what God had told me to do. And if anybody had a negative thought about it, you know, it would shut me down. And I got to the point that if God has told me to do this and if God has led me to this, then who is, and I'm not saying to, you know, to usurp your pastor or, yeah, you need those people in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But oftentimes people want to tell you who you are in God, and you have to go to his word to make sure you know who you are in God. So when they're not lining up to who God says you are, then you know that that's not Jesus. That's not God. And that's not a good influence in your life.
Yep. We had a young lady, and there was a young lady in the altar service last night, and she's a part of this church where I was at, and she was involved in every service. She's on the praise team. She was singing beautifully. She was in several of the services, just shouting all over the place. But last night in the altar service, I noticed that she just had a tremendous burden on her. I could see it all over her. And the Lord told me to ask her, what are you burdened about? What are you struggling mm-hmm. with right now? So she just started bawling when I pulled her to the side. I'm just afraid God doesn't love me, that God has left me and I've made too many mistakes. And so she started going down that path a little bit. And even though all through these services, you could see the presence of God all over her mm-hmm. and talking in tongues and shouting and dancing and leading us in being part of the worship team. But she's carrying this weight. And I said, church people have told you that, haven't they? Because you've made some mistakes recently. Yes, yes, yes. I said, that couldn't be more false. Mm-hmm. That couldn't be more untrue. God, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God cannot leave you. He will not leave you. You cannot make enough mistakes for God to leave you. You can't make enough mistakes for God to stop loving you.
Amen.
He loves you. His Spirit, his presence has been all over you. But she was struggling with this mindset. And she's instead of enjoying the presence of God that was there last night, she was struggling with, I don't think I'm good enough mm-hmm. that God's going to allow me to do all I want to do in the kingdom of God. That's a lie. And sadly, that wasn't put in her by sinners and by mm-hmm. worldly people. That was told to her by church-going people because you've done this or you failed here, you failed there. You know, God's disapproving of you and doesn't love you. And now she's got to try to push past that. She's got to try to get through that. All right. She's got to try to grow past that. And I've seen this happen too many times. If she doesn't have somebody to help her, she might not get past it.
Yeah.
If she doesn't have somebody to help teach her and train her to begin to think correctly and see herself as God sees her, she might not be able to get past that.
And the thing that came to my mind while you were talking about that is we oftentimes base our relationship with God on our feelings rather than the truth of who we are. And if we are feeling like we're not good enough or feeling like we failed God or feeling like, you know, and like you said, it could have been people who have spoke this into her life or it may just be her lack of feeling worthy in general. Because some of us are born with that, or some people are born with that already in them. And if they don't have people to build them up and to teach them different about themselves, they're going to go their whole life feeling like, I'm unworthy, I'm not good enough. And, you know, even some of the people that's going to be listening to this podcast may deal with that issue of not being worthy enough, not being feeling like they are good enough. You have to go, just like you said, you got to go to the foundation of who Jesus says that you are and the fact that he says that you're enough, the fact that he says you are worth me dying for. And I think it's hard for people to wrap their brain around the fact that, first of all, they're fearfully, Jesus says that we are fearfully, wonderfully made. And I don't know if I shared pretty awesome what fearfully and wonderfully. Have I shared that yet? I can't remember.
You have not. You have
not. Well, let me share that because for me, it was like, wow. So fearfully, and you know, the scripture that I'm talking about is, Psalms, help me out.
You brought it
I
up.
I know. I'm not good at like keeping up. I know. Hold on a minute. And probably somebody's on, like, going to be listening. They're like, it's this scripture. I usually know it, like, right off, and I can't think right now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's in Psalms.
It is Psalms 139.
114, yeah, okay. So, fearfully, wonderfully made. And if we look at that scripture right before that, it says that, if you have it pulled up, go ahead and read the scripture before and then read that scripture.
Okay, I got to get back to the King James first. Okay, here we go. Read, let me see. Let me find it again.
Sorry, guys. You know, this is just off the cuff, so.
We're fine.
It's fine. We're just following verse 15.
Jesus. Verse 13?
Yeah.
139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Excuse me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
So a couple things in this verse, and if we read it from the, I think it's the NIV version, it says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. So when we look at it as knit me together, that's like Jesus hands-on, like putting us together. So in conception, there's the mother, there's the Father, and there's Jesus working together to create this person, this being. So it says, you put me together, and then it says, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. So fearfully, in Hebrew, fearfully means with great reverence. So that means that Jesus didn't just throw us together. He, with great reverence, he created each of us to be individual beings, right? Great reverence. He didn't just, it just wasn't an afterthought. You were created to be somebody special. And then the word wonderfully in Hebrew means unique and set apart. And that tells us that we're each individuals. We're unique, we're set apart. And then the next verse says, marvelous is your creation. Excellent is your creation. In different versions, the word good means excellent. In Hebrew. Did you know that? Because, you know, in the beginning, God said he created all these things and everything he created. He said, well, that's good. That's good. That's good. And I always thought, like, why is he saying it's good? Because in English, good doesn't I mean, good means good, but it doesn't mean excellent.
Excellent, yes.
But in Hebrew, right, the word good actually means excellent.
It means excellent.
So when he created Adam and Eve, what did he speak over them? He said, you are excellent. Like, you are not just good, because to us, good's, you know, it's okay, but excellent, yeah, that's like top tier, right? So that's what he has said about each of his creations. And we are all created in God's image, meaning our spirit, we have good things that are, you know, I was talking about this with one of my colleagues today, and he was explaining, like the spiritual and the flesh. And you talk about the Adam in the flesh quite often. And so we each have weaknesses, we each have strengths. Those strengths that we have, those are byproducts of Jesus. Those are us being created in his image. But we also have the weaknesses, which are the flesh. But when we're born again into the kingdom, we have the ability and the authority and the power to overcome the flesh. Isn't that amazing? That God gives us that power.
Absolutely.
To overcome our weaknesses, to overcome those things that are in us that we can't control without the power of God helping us to control it. So that's what it means to be able to live victoriously, to walk victoriously, is to tap into that spiritual power that's inside of us. We have to do that. Thank you for joining us this week for Kingdom Culture Life Redefined. Join in next week for part 2 of You Are Not Who You Were. I pray this week that Jesus will keep you each in perfect peace as your mind stays on him.